At high noon, the entire absence of any human face or voice. These are the marks of South Vallejo. Yet, there was a tall building beside the pier, labeled the Star Flower Mills. The seagoing, full-rigged ships lay close along shore, waiting for their cargo. Soon, these would be plunging round the horn. Soon the flour from the Star Flour Mills would be landed on the wharves of Liverpool. For that, too, is one of England's outposts. Thither to this gaunt mill, across the Atlantic and Pacific deeps, and round about the icy horn, this crowd of great three-masted deep-sea ships come bringing nothing in return with bread. The Frisby House, for that was the name of the hotel, was a place of fallen fortunes, like the town. It was now given up to laborers and partly ruinous. At dinner there was the ordinary display of what is called in the West a two-bit house. The tablecloth, checkered red and white, the plague of flies, the wire hen coops over the dishes, the great variety and invariable vileness of the food, and the rough coatless men devoting it in silence. In our bedroom the stove would not burn, though it would smoke, and while one window would not open, the other would not shut. There was a view, on a bit of empty road, a few dark houses, a donkey wandering with its shadow on a slope, and a blink of sea with a tall ship lying anchored in the moonlight. All about that dreary inn frogs sang their ungainly chorus. Early the next morning we mounted the hill along the wooden footway, bridging one marish spot after another. Here and there, as we ascended, we passed a house and bowered in white roses. More of the bay became apparent, and soon the blue peak of the Tamalpais rose above the green level of the island opposite. It told us we were still but a little way from the city of the Golden Gates, already, at that hour, beginning to awake among the sandhills. It called to us over the waters as with the voice of a bird. Its stately head, blue as a sapphire on the paler azure of the sky, spoke to us of wider outlooks and the bright Pacific. For Tamalpais stands sentry like a lighthouse over the Golden Gates, between the bay and the open ocean, and looks down indifferently on both. Even as we saw and hailed it from Vallejo, seamen, far out at sea, were scanning it with shaded eyes, and, as if to answer to the thought, one of the great ships below began silently to clothe herself with white sails homeward bound for England. For some way beyond Vallejo the railway led us through bald green pastures. On the west the rough highlands of Marin shut off the ocean. In the midst, in long, straggling, gleaming arms, the bay died out among the grass. There were few trees and few enclosures. The sun shone wide over open uplands. The displumed hills stood clear against the sky. But by and by these hills began to draw nearer on either hand, and first thicket and then wood began to clothe their sides, and soon we were away from all signs of the sea's neighborhood, mounting an inland, irrigated valley. A great variety of oaks stood, now severely, now in becoming grove, among the fields and vineyards. The towns were compact, in about equal proportions of bright new wooden houses and great and growing forest trees, and the chapel bell on the engine sounded most festally that sunny Sunday, as we drew up at one green town after another, with the townsfolks trooping in their Sunday's best to see the strangers, with the sun sparkling on the clean houses, and great domes of foliage humming overhead in the breeze. This pleasant Napa Valley is, at its north end, blockaded by our mountain. There, at Calistoga, the railroad ceases, and the traveler who intends faring farther, to the geysers or to the springs in Lake County, must cross the spurs of the mountain by stage. Thus, Mount St. Helena is not only a summit, but a frontier, and up to the time of writing it has stayed the progress of the Iron Horse. Part 1 in the Valley. Chapter 1, Calistoga. It is difficult for a European to imagine Calistoga. The whole place is so new and of such an accidental pattern. The very name, I hear, was invented at a supper party by the man who found the springs. The railroad and the highway come up the valley about parallel to one another. The street of Calistoga joins the perpendicular to both.